For 36 years, the Goldman Environmental Prize has celebrated everyday heroes who are showing us that every action has the power to turn apathy into positive change for the environment. Heroes like Bastiana Gurri and Olsi Nika, who helped create Europe's first Wild River National Park. Visit us at goldmanprize.org to discover the stories of this year's Goldman Environmental Prize winners. And learn how when it comes to protecting our planet, the doing makes the difference.
Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Uncertainty. Self-doubt. Stressing about not knowing where to start. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Word art. Sorry, live, laugh, lovers. In. Knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Steph ripped it through on Jalen Green. Goes to his right. Out of bounds. Three is up.
And he hit it! Oh, my goodness. Falling out of bounds right in front of Warriors owner Joe Lacob. A miraculous three by Curry on Easter.
Oh, man. Finds post. Catches, doesn't shoot it, gets it to Curry. Curry with two, with one, fadeaway up, but good. Curry willed that ball into the bucket. Jamski looking for someone to throw it into, finds Curry. Curry, quick three, on the way. Good, from about a step across half court. Just ridiculous.
I'm a complete and total fool. I am a complete and total idiot. My God, I'm an idiot.
Now back to Willard. Now back to Willard and Dibs. Take it away, Mark.
You pronounced idiot wrong, Chef. You pronounced it wrong. That's a good montage. Good montage there, Grandy. We're coming to you live from the Laughing Monk Studios. Laughing Monk, righteously brewed in San Francisco. All of us here at 95.7 The Game. Love having Laughing Monk along. And I think I'd like to go to Laughing Monk to watch the Lakers play tomorrow night. Because I'm going to be laughing my ass off if they lose again.
Yeah, you might be laughing drunk at Laughing Monk.
That'd be fine.
Yeah.
I don't do that very much. But
I know,
we
but
could try.
You could get the lovely to be the DD, the designated driver.
It's not our process.
I get that.
We have an agreement.
We do, and I'm aware of it.
I'm not one to break agreements. I'm just not built that way.
But if the Lakers can go down 0-2 and you can be laughing drunk at Laughing Monk, well, I do think that would be a time where you could get a waiver. From the prearranged situation.
Conversation for a completely different, not just day, but a different week. I'm not convinced that Warrior fans shouldn't be rooting for the Lakers. And I know how awful this sounds. We're already breaking down round two opponents. I get it. But these games come at us every night. It's the beauty of the NBA playoffs. I can't wait for Nuggets Clippers tonight. I can't wait for it.
That game was awesome.
The Western Conference is awesome. It's awesome.
The Thunder aren't playing. They got a bye.
The Thunder are unbelievable. And if this does, like, whoever you get
out. Where is Ja?
Yeah, not in Oklahoma City.
Yeah.
If you're going to get whoever you get out of Nuggets Clippers, that's high.
That's a great question.
Okay. Oklahoma City's winning their series. I don't really know what's going to happen in Minnesota and the Lakers. And I'm fairly confident the Warriors will win their series. And that Final Four is going to be crazy. This is high-level stuff. High-level stuff. That was your 7 seed, ladies and gentlemen. That was a play-in team that put on a clinic on the road in Game 1 last night.
I wouldn't call it a clinic.
A play-in team. You literally texted the word clinic. You texted the word clinic.
At what point of the game, though?
Early. Like, it was the second quarter.
Yeah. I'm just looking at the game log. In the last 6 minutes of the third quarter, the Rockets closed it out on a 17-3 run. What I did text the group, which I stand behind, is that the Rockets can't score enough to win four times. That for me is the headline.
That was the first text. That was at 7:14, but 7 minutes later, you went back to your phone.
Okay.
And wrote, clinic right now. Dre poking the ball away, Jimmy getting to his spots, Steph being Steph, fun to watch.
Yep. That was probably either late second or early third.
7:21.
Which the game started at 6:30.
Yeah, second quarter. Right. Second quarter, 7:21.
It was a clinic. And then you got to the third quarter, and things got, they didn't get dicey, but things got a little bit sideways.
You don't do it for four quarters. They're going to make a run. They're a good NBA team.
Right.
They're going to go on their runs.
But they made a run because you had the runs. And that's where...
I don't know. I mean, how disrespectful are we going to get? The Warriors are not the only team in this series. So I think that they're markedly better. I think Houston needed that game last night. I think the Warriors are going to win what threatens to not be a long series. But all of that said, just because something starts going Houston's way for a five-minute stretch, I'm not going to say that that only happened because the Warriors were being stupid for 5 minutes. Like, the Rockets are a really, really good defensive team, and they buttoned it up. They buttoned it up. I don't think you got the energy to do that for four quarters, but they buttoned it up for about 7 minutes, and they made a move. That's going to happen. There's going to be more of that.
Yep. The Warriors over the last 6-plus minutes, 1-for-8 from the floor with 4 turnovers. So it was not only Houston buttoning it up, but it was also some sloppy play, 2 shot clock violations, and you know, you had Jimmy Butler get to the foul line. He made 1 of 2.
Right, but when you do a shot clock violation, that's great defense. It's not just, oh, you're a sloppy turnover. I thought Houston forced those 2 shot clock violations. They played really well. They're long. They're athletic. They're a great defensive team. They're minded that way. So, you know, I'd like to give them some credit for their bursts. I just think, bottom line, they're too young and they don't have enough people to score the basketball.
That, to me, is the big takeaway. Yeah. Is when you look at it, I don't think that the Rockets have enough bucket getters. Their best bucket getter is a guy who makes a lot of twos, and he's great, Şengün. And yeah, go ahead and have 30 on 12 makes and 6 free throws. Maybe he'll hit a 3, and he hit the 3 he did hit was like, okay, Şengün.
Right.
I mean, it was like a catch and shoot, one-legged, stinky from the corner.
Who hits crazy off-balance threes? That's stupid. Nobody does that in the NBA.
Nobody does. It's totally unfair, but... I don't really worry about the Rockets winning a game 120-117. That's all.
No. They would need a fifth quarter and maybe a sixth.
Maybe.
All right. I'm looking forward to this point that Floyd in New York City is trying to make. By the way, 888-957-9570. We're here for your calls. What stood out? What player do you want to point to? Hey, Floyd, thanks for calling. What's up?
Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah,
just looking at last night's game, I'm very glad we won. I do think there was some cautionary lessons to be learned there. One, I think we really have to once and all for all abandon the small ball, small guard lineup. When we gave up that 20-point lead, it was because we had that small lineup on the court. And all season, it's why we led the NBA in blown double-digit leads. It's like we keep trying to revert to that small ball lineup. And I think that's very bad. I think that's what allowed them to come back more than buttoning up their defense. It's like you said, they played long. They were able to play long because we played small. Quickly, talking about KD possibly going to Houston, I think if Houston did that, they would have to basically mortgage their future for what is possibly a 1, maybe 2-year run at it. And I think that would be too much for them. And then lastly, I wanted to ask you, do you think we've seen the last of Jonathan Kuminga? Is he out of here?
Okay, so Floyd, hit the alarm. Somebody said the words.
First reference.
Not allowed to say that. Thank you. That's a penalty. You're in the box. No. We can get into that. I not at length, but we can answer the question. I'd actually like to talk about what he said first, though. The Warriors started having trouble because of the small ball lineup. I would argue that any Warrior lineup is a small ball lineup unless either Looney or Post is on the floor. Can we agree on that?
Yeah.
Okay. Looney and Post combined for 21 minutes total. So largely – for more than half of the game, the Warriors go with a small ball lineup. I want to remind everybody, they were out-rebounded by double digits, and they won the game by double digits. I'm starting to have a hard time with this idea of people breaking down Warrior basketball by saying, too small. A small ball doesn't work. Where's your evidence? I'm sorry that it's frustrating. I'm with you. It's hard to watch when the other team sometimes gets two or three shots every trip down the floor. The offensive rebounds, very, very difficult to watch. The Warriors had a total of 6 of them. The Rockets had 22. That is frustrating. I think it's more frustrating to lose the game by double digits when you had 22 offensive rebounds. The Warrior defense was fantastic. It is causing mismatches on the other end of the floor that other teams have not figured out. So every time we do this, the small ball thing is causing problems. No, it's not. It's causing a problem, but it's causing 2 for the other team. That's what history is suggesting. So are we still screaming at general managers of the Warriors that they need to get a 7-footer? I think it's been disproven.
Well, they have a 7-footer, and he plays on the perimeter, and he was 0 for 3. And I'm
too.
Thinking about the 2022 NBA Finals, and I'm just looking at the composite box score against Boston, and you had Nemanja Bjelica, your big. He played 29 minutes over 6 games. Kevon Looney, who is only 6'9", he played 130 minutes over 6, which is about 20 and change, and that was your small ball lineup, yep. And you won the NBA championship. And I could go to previous title runs and look at the minutes played by such luminaries as JaVale McGee and Mo Spates, who is a lot like Quentin Post, by the way. He's a three-point shooting big. Andrew Bogut was the only true big that you had, and I don't think he played more than about 20 or 24 minutes either.
Warrior postseason coverage is brought to you by the Agape Golf Tournament on Monday, April 28th at Stone Tree Golf Club, presented by ATCO Pest Control. Steiny and Guru are going to be broadcasting live from 10 to 2, and if you want to play, go to 957thegame.com, click on the events tab, and sign up. All proceeds will benefit the North Bay and Golden Gate Regional Centers, as well as the San Francisco Autism Society of the Bay Area. And then this is a perfect amount of time to answer the Jonathan Kuminga thing. He's not in their plans. That's my answer.
Past or future? We don't know.
I don't know about future, but they believe he makes too many poor decisions. They believe he does not shoot the ball well enough. He is not in their plans.
Hi, this is Guy Santos.
Not in their plans.
Right.
So I don't know that there's anything to discuss. The Warriors are playing really well. They are up 1-0. Why would you want something to be different? He's not in their plans. 888-957-9570, the number. It's Willard and Dibbs.
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus Tax, for a limited time and subject to change. Max 1 offer per account.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Shot clock at 10. Butler goes across the paint to Pajemski. Stops, in trouble, bounce pass to Moody. Moody with three. Tough shot. Good shot, Moses Moody. Oh, my goodness.
That was a fantastic shot because Pajemski didn't put him in great shape.
His first basket of the game is right there, and it gives the Warriors a six-point lead again. 2:30 left. Curry crossover dribble to the right side, chased by two defenders to Pajemski. He attacks, goes left corner to Moody. The three ball's up and good. Moses Moody, three ball left corner pocket, and it's a 7-point lead for the Dubs. Big time basket.
Bay Area, it's Moses Moody. You're listening to Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
Oh, Moses. Oh, those were big.
Big.
Those are big shots. When you end up in the fourth quarter of playoff games, and there's that moment where the ball moves around the court and it ends up in the hands of any role player, any non-star, and they kind of look up at the hoop and they're like, all right, y'all, we're doing this. They let it fly. Whole thing goes in slow motion, doesn't it?
Totally.
Just total slow motion. And when it goes in, it feels like stealing. And that's what both of those shots felt like last night. Felt like stealing, getting those two buckets from Moses Moody.
Well, the first one really felt like stealing after Pods.
Yeah.
Well, no, Pods with the Euro steps. He does his Euro, and then. It's like, Pods, where are you going?
What are we doing?
I mean, it felt like three in a drag.
Well, but I've learned to never get mad about traveling in the NBA.
I didn't get mad because I'm a Warrior fan.
Well, no, but
if I was a Rocket fan, that would be one where I would have been infuriated.
And Dylan Brooks was, but I think it's stupid. It's stupid. I mean, honestly, it's stupid. Watching Dylan Brooks, and just so that it doesn't sound homerish, I'll add Draymond Green to this too. Watching players who foul people on every possession get mad at the refs is funny. It's funny. Like, you've got to be kidding me. You're going to scream about traveling, which, by the way, is not called in the NBA.
Not often.
And now you want to travel when you literally have portions of Steph Curry's arm hair in your jersey every single trip down the floor? Like, what are we doing, dude? Don't yell at the refs. You foul every single possession twice.
And a lot of people travel.
You foul out in the first quarter.
Yeah.
Dylan?
Well.
So chill.
This is one where I felt like with a player of Pod's, I guess, experience, second year player.
Sure.
And it's in the middle of the key and you're in Houston And it was Euro drag slide and step.
Slide to the right.
Right. This one felt like one where you could see it be called. Like,
I guess.
If LeBron or Steph does it, fine. That's a no call. And we know that's the nature of it.
Yeah. Do the refs even know the signal for travel? Do you know it?
Oh,
what
yeah.
What do you do for travel?
You do the hustle.
Perfect. Honestly. I mean, unless you go to youth basketball games, I wonder if you even know what the signal for travel is. They don't call that. They don't call it.
Not often.
I mean, it's got to be crazy. It has to be crazy. And I know it drives Steve Kerr nuts. I wish they did, but they don't. So you're barking up the wrong tree if you're yelling at refs in the NBA to call traveling.
And anyway, he travels.
Of course he did.
He finds Moody for a 14-footer that at that point, it was a 4-point game, so it wasn't nervous time, but you needed a bucket, and it was late clock, and he found it, and he got it. And then his second bucket that you heard coming in, it's a 4-point game again with 2:25 to go, and this one's not late clock. This one's 14 on the shot clock, and we had just gone through a couple of possessions of, no, like, right. You're not Steph. You're not Jimmy.
No.
Knock it off.
No.
And this one finds Moses in the corner, and I'll be honest, I was like, no.
No.
Yes.
Yeah. This is what my coach used to say all the time, every time I shot. No. Yes. Okay. Great. Okay. Get back on defense.
Yeah.
This was, I feel like this was shortly after Buddy Hield decided to start throwing lobs and running out of bounds when no one was in front of him. I think it was right after that. That was my most stressful moment of the game. When Buddy finally got the rebound and you're like, man, that feels like he found a four-leaf clover. Buddy Hield got a rebound. And then he turned to his right and was just like, I'm going to go talk to this person over here. Like, buddy, she's out of bounds.
It was C.J. Stroud.
Yeah, don't go.
He wanted to go see C.J. Stroud, I think.
I get that. Get a picture or something like that.
Sure.
Let's go to Benjamin in San Pablo. Hi, Benjamin. Thank you for calling.
Hey, thanks for taking my call.
Hey, man.
Hey, you guys just hit on one of the two things that I had wanted to talk about, which was the Moody three when the Warriors had got, when Van Fleet finally hit one to put it at 84-80. I told my wife, I was like, oh man, this is what kills us. We are just missing and making stupid turnovers. And then to come right back down with Moody not being able to make shots all game. Oh man, when he shot that shot, and made it, I was like, oh, we got this. This is the game right here. That felt so, like, so much relief. And it was such a nice moment when we've watched the Warriors cough up leads, like, all season, and not so much since Jimmy's been here. But, man, I thought we were giving it up. And Moody hitting that three really, like, I was like, okay, we're okay.
I'm totally with you, Benjamin. But, you know, like, in the playoffs, you got to have the stomach for this. Every team thinks every fan thinks their team always blows the game. You're right about since Jimmy showed up, I think in clutch games that now makes them 11-4 since Jimmy Butler arrived. And I always try to do this. It doesn't always work, Benjamin, but whenever your team is up by four and you're freaking out because here comes the other team, just imagine being a fan of the other team for a second. Be like, how would that feel right now? And if you were a Rocket fan last night was a nightmare. Not only did you lose game one that you had to have in your home building, you were largely down by double digits, and it's the same damn player that literally has been the guy who has stopped your franchise from ever doing anything in the last decade and a half. Last night was a nightmare for a Rocket fan, Benjamin.
Definitely. And yeah, I loved hearing the Rockets announcers calling the Steph threes. That was great.
Well, Benjamin, thanks for... go ahead. We'll play it again as soon as you're done.
Yeah, there was one more thing I just wanted to ask. Did anybody think that Pods was actually like taunting the Rockets into that replay call? Because that came up huge. Like, I don't know if Pods thought the call was on him, but he twirled the finger, and then the Rockets end up challenging the call, lose the challenge, and then the Warriors actually like very, very concretely benefited from it. And I was like, That's the kind of IQ play that we keep talking about where I was like, I don't know if Pods did that on purpose, but man, did that work out.
Yeah, Benjamin, thanks. I that's the way I took it. that he was taunting the Rockets. I don't think he was trying to convince them to do it, because that would really give me pause. If I'm the Rockets and a player on the other team is like, yeah, review it, that would obviously dissuade me from wanting to do it. But I think that they were thinking about it, and a lot of the players on the Rockets called for the review, and it was Pod's way of saying, go ahead. Yeah, go ahead. Review it. And he was right. It was definitely a foul on the Rockets.
It's a weird one, and I'm looking at the replay right now. Three-point game, 6:33 to go, and the ref on the baseline, he clearly blows his whistle, but he doesn't indicate who it's on. And so, like, you've got a player on the ground, and Pods has shot it. And Pods, the way he does the twirl, he's not doing it to his own bench. He's looking at the Rockets' bench. Yeah. But at this point, as I'm watching the video, it hasn't yet been decided, I don't think, who it's on. None of the three refs, like, did the and one the point.
No, he must have known. Well, it wasn't an and one. He didn't make the shot.
Right.
He ended up getting two shots, and he made only one of the two shots. He missed the first free throw.
Good point.
So the Warriors only got 1 point out of it, but it made it a two-score game again. So it was a big point. But I think the way I took it, and I wasn't there, I could be wrong, but I took it as the guys on the floor knew that the call went against the Rockets.
Right.
And they were like, no. And Pods looked at him like, go ahead, review it. And yeah, the play, he was not set. I can't remember if it was it Green or was it Jabari?
It was Thompson.
Okay. Oh,
Amen Thompson.
I was wrong about both of them. Anyway, yeah, Amen Thompson was not set in time. Pods was already in the air. He comes underneath him. It was a clear as day upon review. Blocking foul. It was the right call. And so that was Pods' way of being like, review it. The only other thing I can think of is Pods was going, you know, when I ask my coach to review it, he never does. So maybe I thought I'd try you. How about if you review it?
That's a four.
I mean, like,
I'm looking for validation from somebody.
Kerr never does it. Hey, Udoka, will you review it?
Pretty funny.
So anyway.
No, just looking at the video, he is like clearly looking at the Rockets, because his bench is on the near side, and he's looking at the other end of the floor like, yeah, review it. Yeah,
fire away if you guys want.
And Udoka did.
And he was right.
And it turned out to be a thing because, as Steiny and Goo were mentioning earlier, there was a ball out of bounds that should have gone to the Rockets.
Off
but
of Draymond.
You
exactly
had no,
right.
You had no review. And, I mean, the rule is stupid. We've talked about it. But
I hate it so
much. The rules
much.
Are the rules.
I know. But
we don't worry about getting it right when you're out of challenges.
I hate it so much. I hate it so much. I hate it in the NFL even more. It's like, why bring all of these rules to the table where the idea is to get the call right, but then you set up a system where you're like, but not now. It's like, wait a minute, like we're punished? We're punished for asking you to check on something. I get that you shouldn't be allowed to just check everything all the time, but the fact that it's so easy to quickly fall into not having the ability to challenge, and then you get to the final couple minutes of a game and big calls are just uncheckable. It's weird to me. That cannot be what people were trying to do.
And if you go back to the NCAA tournament, those calls are all reviewable.
Yep.
They automatically will just review it. If there's an out of bounds or something that is a close call, they do that there. Yet in the association, multi-billion dollar industry, we have a system that we don't really have that much interest in, quote, getting it right.
Right.
Last 2 minute report, not yet out. I will keep an eye on that when it gets released.
Exciting.
Yeah, probably tomorrow. And then they'll come out and say, well, you know what? We probably should have given the Rockets the ball in that case.
Yeah, whatever.
Yeah, 48 hours later.
It's also a 10-point game. One possession wasn't going to switch the
outcome.
Was it 10
at that point? Yeah.
Not at that point, but it ended up that way.
Right.
The Warriors won by 10.
Yep.
This was not a one-possession thing. This was not a Russell Westbrook game, which is going to be my new nickname for one-possession games. Because I don't know how a game cannot be a one-possession game when he's playing in it. Because he will make a great play, and then the most mind-bogglingly stupid thing I've ever seen an NBA player do the very next play every time. Every time he plays. I just want to send out my condolences today on 95.7 The Game for any fan who has to watch him play for your team. That has got to be the most maddening experience in sports. It's nuts. But he does just enough to where coaches keep putting him out there. But it is, what a migraine headache.
Yeah.
Wow. I've never seen someone win an MVP in a sport and at the same time show such an insane lack of knowledge about that sport. It's crazy. I've never seen an athlete like him. It's bizarre.
He's amazing.
He has no clue what he's doing out there.
He is so unbelievably gifted. And if you could watch 2 minutes of Russell Westbrook, you would see the greatest play ever, followed by the most boneheaded play ever, maybe on the same possession.
Often.
And you watch that game, and he was unbelievable. He was fantastic. And then it was like, I almost called you because he had a play where it's like, dude, you don't need to go try and score. And he goes, dribble, dribble.
No, I'm not convinced that Russell Westbrook's not being controlled by somebody's video game console. And somebody keeps accidentally hitting the button that makes him go into ludicrous speed at the wrong time at the end of every game. I don't understand what's happening. I've never seen an NBA MVP more often have the ball in his hands with less than 30 seconds to go and the lead, and he decides, I need to run at the hoop as fast as possible and huck the ball straight in the air. It is the weirdest thing. I baffled. Absolutely baffled. What do you got, Grandy?
It's funny you brought up video games. Have you guys played Mario Kart?
Of course.
Do you know how it works?
Yeah.
Where you run into the item and the item box pops up and you don't know what you're going to get. You're going to get like the red shell, the green shell, the banana or star power or the blue shell or whatever it is. And I saw this post on Twitter last night. It was Russell Westbrook. Oh, you did? Russell Westbrook is the item box in Mario Kart.
Right.
When he has the ball in his hands, you don't know what the hell it's going to end. But you know you're going to get something one way or the other.
Oh, my God.
But aren't all those items, like, good items? There's no item that you get that hurts you.
No, but there are some that are kind of worthless.
Right.
Yeah.
And I'm
like a banana.
What? The one banana, yes.
Well,
the three bananas, you can populate it and trail it behind you, and that way a red shell
yourself,
can protect you, or a green shell. Rather,
and a banana is—I don't like slander against bananas. They're not worthless. I know that they're not as healthy as some other fruits, but they can be delicious. And if you freeze them, they're great in smoothies.
But you get the banana on lap two, and you just drop it. You might hit your own banana on lap three.
Well,
when I get like the ink, and I go and splot ink on someone else's car, so they can't see. I mean, that's pointless.
Mostly.
That's fair. Yeah. Anyway,
and if you get the bullet, you're probably in last, so you may need a couple of bullets to get back in it.
True.
Yeah.
A lot of Mario Kart with my younger son. He was a savant. Really good.
No, Mario Kart is great, and I forget the name of the guy. What's the name of the guy that everybody likes? The character?
Toad.
Yoshi.
No, Yoshi. There you go.
Yoshi.
Yoshi's
the
goat. Not Yoshi. Yoshi.
Yeah.
What'd you say, Lucas?
Toad.
Not Toad.
Old school's Toad.
Yoshi.
Gamers know.
Yoshi.
Dude, it's Yoshi.
Yeah.
Yes.
Whatever. Anyway,
Bowser Jr.
The other thing,
Waluigi,
Koopa Troopa.
It reminds me of every space movie when they hit that hyperspeed thing, and the stars start like going out really long, and then that's Russell Westbrook if you give him the ball in the last minute of the game.
Yes,
it doesn't matter if you're supposed to hit hyperspeed; you do.
It's like Russell Westbrook's on Rainbow Road, and like you can't use your hyperspeed on Rainbow Road. There's no guardrails; you'll fly off the edge. That's Russell Westbrook. He is hyperspeed on Rainbow Road.
Oh, we promised this.
I can do 4 hours on it.
We promised this because Benjamin brought it up, and we haven't played it in a couple hours here. And this is Craig Ackerman. He is the voice of the Houston Rockets. And his partner is Ryan Hollins, who was on the show last week talking that talk and talking that mess. And here they are watching Steph Curry play basketball.
Curry, well defended by Green. Wow.
Oh, my gosh.
That is vintage Steph Curry. Incredible. An incredible shot maker. Now to Curry. Got to pick him up. Shakes loose. Oh, my goodness. Beats the shot clock. Steph Curry with 28, his fourth three.
This is unreal, Craig.
I'm just telling you, man. I got PTSD from seeing this dude too many times in the playoffs. I'm just going to admit it. Comes into Curry on the bounce, launches deep one. Oh, my goodness. And he hits it from the Y at Toyota Center.
Yeah, take that. Take that. And Craig Ackerman, I think that's a thing. When he says, I've got PTSD, the players on the Rockets, maybe they don't, you know? Amen Thompson was probably... I don't know. He was probably at my gym or something as opposed to Toyota Center the last time the Rockets and Warriors played in the playoffs?
And Jim Baree 10 years ago.
One, whatever. Like, exactly. So maybe they don't have a thing about the Warriors, but I'm sorry, that stuff gets in your blood. It's on your uniform. It's in your building. It's being talked about by your fans, your broadcasters, all of that. This team is terrified of Steph Curry, and he gave him another nightmare last night.
He gave it to him, and Jimmy Butler as well. And you know, when you're the Rockets and you've played this team five times this year, you really haven't. You've played them twice with Jimmy Butler, and now you're in the playoffs for the first time. And the thing that was really alarming to me is your one OG who actually has muscle memory of beating the Warriors when he was on Toronto, Fred VanVleet. And yet he played so terribly. And if you have a team full of young guys making their playoff debut, you can understand some nerves and you can understand maybe not a great game. Amen Thompson, 0-for-4 from the foul line is a little bit weird.
Yep.
He's about 67-68%. So, you know, you would figure he'd at least hit one of them if he was nervous. But Fred VanVleet, you've won a title. And when you won the title, it was against these guys and you played great.
Do you believe in plus minus?
I do. I mean, the one game sample is a little bit.
It's tough. Yeah. And for those of you who don't know what plus minus is a stat in the box score. And it calculates what happened in the game just while you were on the floor. Only while you were on the floor. So everybody gets their own little personal number. And then they get to wear it like a necklace around the next day. One Rocket, one, had a positive plus minus. In other words, the Rockets defeated the Warriors while he was on the floor. Want to take a guess who it was?
Well, I think the obvious guess would be Şengün, but he played a lot of minutes, and so a lot of the time they were down, but I'm going to say Şengün just because he played great.
Şengün was a -7. Mm. -7.
Wow, welcome back. It's Monday. There you go.
Amen Thompson, a team-leading -16. Dylan Brooks, -13. Those are actually the three worst Rockets. One more guess just for fun?
It's probably somebody who didn't play a lot. And
well,
so
everybody who played on the Rockets played at least 20 minutes.
Right, because they only played eight guys.
They only played eight guys. You want to talk about shortening the bench, yeah.
Although this guy did play the fewest minutes.
Okay, then it would have to be my beloved Kiwi, Steven Adams.
That is absolutely correct. Okay. There's the guy. Yeah, he was a +4. Steven Adams, our old friend.
And he had probably 37 offensive rebounds, I'm remembering.
What
do you have, like five or six?
Yeah, five.
Okay.
Five. 12 rebounds total, though.
Yeah.
Yeah. Seven on the defense and five on the offense.
I love Steven Adams. He is kind of like the Kiwi Kavan because he gets an offensive rebound and like, what are you going to do now, Steve? Like, what are you going to do about it? Okay, you got in there and you got it. It's not like you're going to go up and I know he had one dunk
He had a dunk. He went 0-for-2 from the free throw line.
Right.
Those were amazing. Shaq watched the game and went, dude, you suck at free throws.
Pretty funny.
Holy hell.
Rick Barry chimed in and said, maybe underhand in your future.
Do something.
But, I mean, Steven Adams gets an offensive rebound. It's like, you know, hey, mate, who wants it?
Yeah, what are you going to do about it?
Yeah, exactly.
I like that. I like that. All right, 888-957-9570. Again, it's just you all afternoon reacting to the Game 1 victory for the Warriors on the road at the Rockets. Do you still think the Rockets have a chance in this series? Do you think this could be a sweep, a gentleman's sweep? Where are you on that? What's your takeaway? Which player do you want to point out and say something about? We'd love to hear from all of you Warrior fans all afternoon long, all the way up until dinner time. That's what we're doing. 888-957-9570. So we will take your phone calls. Continue to next. We're brought to you by Fremont Bank. Here for you, here for good. I'd like to bring up a player whose name I don't think has been brought up on the show at all yet today. I'd like to bring him up, and we'll do that coming up next on Willard and Dibbs.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps. Restrictions apply.
Founded in 1964, Fremont Bank understands the difference 60 years can make.
It's the difference found in the details. The difference between customers and trusted neighbors. The difference between preparing for the coming weeks and planning for the coming years. The difference between serving a community and serving your community. So what difference does 60 years make? All the difference in the world. Fremont Bank. Here for you. Here for good.
Hey everyone, quick shout out to Whole Foods Market. You know I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high quality meats, or just a quick healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table, and Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. Flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry Blend and Orange Hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. That's why Dollar Shave Club makes the razors, but you make the rules. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Dollar Shave Club products are now available everywhere. Or visit their site right now for 20% off $20 or more and get your products delivered right to your door. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/shaveup and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more. And remember, whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Nerds!
Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Want to travel like a savvy jet setter? No, that doesn't mean monogramming your passport. It means making smart decisions every step of your trip, which means knowing your options. Smart Travel unpacks the facts, like which booking sites actually save money, how to fly first class using points, and if that fancy travel card is a smart investment, all so you can save more on your next adventure. Follow Smart Travel from NerdWallet today and start traveling like a pro.
Down to 3:50 left. Curry dribbles right. Triple team. Oh, to Moody. It's a three ball, and it popped up. No good. Tipped by Pajemski. Left it for Draymond, who scores low right. Pajemski kept the ball alive, and Draymond then snuck in from the weak side.
How about that effort by Pajemski?
Wow.
Holy smokes.
Bay Area, it's Brandon Pajemski. You're listening to Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
Okay, Pods, there's some moxie in that dude.
Yep.
It's not always the prettiest. There's good nights, there's bad nights, but man, the effort and the confidence do not seem to take a night off. It was there again last night. I got nerdy draft stuff, if anybody cares. I'm not talking about the NFL draft.
No. I'm
talking about the NBA draft.
Oh, okay.
With news that affects the Golden State Warriors.
All right.
You know, I'm sure you heard that they traded their first-round draft pick.
Gone.
This year.
Yeah.
For a guy named Jimmy Butler.
Okay.
All right. So there were some tie-break scenarios that needed to be settled. And because the Warriors are definitely, remember, it's lottery protected or top 10, whatever it is, the Warriors are not eligible for that because they're a playoff team. So the Warriors will be sending their first round draft pick to the Miami Heat. They will send, as it turns out, the 20th overall pick in the draft to the Heat, and they will receive in return the 41st overall pick. So Andrew Wiggins, some throw-ins who I would argue a year from now will not even be remembered by most Warrior fans, and you moved down 21 picks for Jimmy Butler.
Wow, right? I mean,
Warriors lead the Rockets 1-0, round one.
Schroeder, Slow-Mo, Lindy Waters, and you can even go further back and realize that Clay was a reason why you got some of that in the first place. And so you went from Clay basically to Jimmy Butler in a roundabout way, and you only had to go back 21 spots. And Clay is openly, he's not admitting that he has regret, but he didn't want to talk about his feelings when asked. And
yeah.
I don't blame him because I don't believe in regret. I think that regret is weakness leaving the body because you do what you do, and whatever you did it, and here you are. So for me, the idea of regret is kind of It's weak and sad. Well, there are things, of course, that you regret.
For sure. And I don't know what Clay was supposed to do with that question. And I think that's kind of how he answered it. If you know, people were like, if you'd known that it was going to go this way, would you have made this move? And he's like, guys, don't do this to me.
Right.
Don't do it. What do you want me to say? What do you want me to say? Yeah, I hate it here now. Like, they got
if
enough.
You knew Kyrie would get hurt and they'd trade Luka.
I mean, like, you got enough crap going on in Dallas. Like, but I understand you ask the questions that people want to hear about, and that's definitely gotten thrown around. All right, 888-957-9570. Again, we want to take your phone calls on what stood out. What player do you want to point to? I'd like to point to one. I promised I would. His name's Gui Santos. Now, in 7 minutes of action, this is the you want to know what the best thing about Gui is? In very, very limited time, he affects things. Almost every time. Maybe not in a large way, maybe only in a small way, but he's there. You never see him go out there for 5, 6, 7 minutes of action, and you're like, oh, I didn't even notice he was out there. You know, I'll give you an example of another Warrior. Like, there are times where Buddy Hield is on the court, and you're like, I didn't even know Buddy was out there. Or you're like, ooh, I know Buddy's out there, and I'd like him to leave. That happens, too. Gui, with his hustle, his rebounding, and then last night it was a shot. He made some shots, a couple free throws, knocked down a three. Gui Santos, in very limited opportunity, makes you feel that he's on the floor every time.
And that's what you need from your ninth and tenth guy. He's not in there just to give somebody a breather. He's in there to muck it up, get a rebound, a steal if possible, make a shot if you're open, and that's what he did in 6 minutes. And I'm looking at the three right now. It was a part of the comeback. And yeah. I believe his three is what gave him the lead for the first time, a lead that they never relinquished. And,
amazing.
Yeah, you know, they're down one, and he's open, not shying away from it. Corner three, boom.
Knock it down.
That's it.
Yeah. Let's go to Oli in Pleasanton. Hi, Oli. Thanks for calling.
Hey, hello. This is Oli. Can you hear me?
Yep, we got you.
Okay, so this is about Jimmy Butler. You know, I think we are very lucky. So, you know, in the post game conference, he said, like, you know, he grew up in the Houston area and they couldn't afford to go to the games. Okay, so from there, 2 weeks back, Steve Kerr said that we don't run ISO ball. Okay, and the whole league changed because of with five shooters. So he comes to a place with Batman at the height of his prowess and changes everything. They're all respecting. He is influencing and making the change. I think we are so lucky for the Angels. Somebody dropped him on our laps. And also in the one other question, which again, in the NFL people do it. I don't know why he didn't do it. The last, very last point, 2 points that he scored of the game. Okay? 31 seconds left or so, which is an eternity. We are up by 8. He gets a whatever fast break. Okay? He goes there, goes to the dunker spot, and then he actually scores it. He could have run out the clock, okay, even though it is like only 25 seconds or whatever, and actually ate it up. So in the NFL, people go to the one-yard line and then drop dead because they'll run out the clock and win the game, end the game right there. But he just scored it. We had like 31 seconds or so. Up by 10, yes, okay. But if it's a critical game, 2-4, 2-4, 3, 6 points away or like a close game, you have to run out the clock and then be done with it, finish the game there rather than give an eternity back to them if it's a three-pointing team or something, right? And maybe one final point. In that shot, through the side-angle replay camera, they showed the Warriors bench. Everybody stood up, happy, smiles and all. And we also saw JK smiling there. I'll end it here.
Okay. All right. Yeah, thank you, Oli.
Up 11 with 26 seconds left.
Yeah, that's
you dunk the basketball.
You dunk the basketball, and I'll tell you why. First of all, the game is out of reach at that point.
Correct.
That's a dagger. That's a night-night. There's nobody coming back from that amount with 20 seconds left to go. And it's not like football where you're like, let the clock run out. If it is still something that's potentially in doubt, they're going to come get you and foul you. And you could say, well, Jimmy will make his two free throws. And be like, well, no, go dunk it. That's even easier.
Right.
Right. Like, take the 2 points. You know, do you leave 4 more seconds on the clock? Maybe. Again, this is all based on time and space and what the score is and everything. And I've certainly learned to trust Jimmy Butler as much as any player I've ever watched to make the right decision in that moment.
If it's up one with 4 seconds left and that same thing happens and he gets the long pass, well, then you may want to just dribble into the corner and dribble it out. Because if you dunk it, it's a 3-point game. They can tie it. But when you're up by 9 at that point, I'm sorry, you're up 11, get dunk the basketball. And he's right. I'm looking at the still of the bench shot. They're all up, and you've got Quentin Post, and you've got Guy, like, flexing, Jonathan Kuminga, smiling ear to ear.
He's so, not, like, not I know, dead.
But, I know, but he...
Like,
he,
I mean, yeah, he's frustrated, but, you know, you keep living, you keep doing your thing. He's a teammate. He's on the Warriors, you know?
Yeah. There is a Rocket fan a couple rows behind who looks like she's about to throw up.
I wonder if she did.
Yeah.
I wonder if she did.
Let me continue the video.
Yeah.
Nope. Just.
I tell you what. If Ole is worried about Jimmy Butler taking the ball to the basket, up 11 with 20 seconds left to go, hey, Ole, go watch a Nuggets game.
Oh, come on.
You should go watch what Russell Westbrook
just
does
stay
in
off
this
my
situation.
Guy. You're being too hard on him.
I'm not.
I know you're not.
It's just out of control.
I want to go back and actually watch what I... Because I watched it,
dude.
And I thought of you immediately because he makes plays that are like, this is not like me and you at a park in the summer. Like, what are you doing?
What are you doing?
Russ?
What are you doing? But by the way...
They won, though.
I know, let me go back to the point that I made about a half hour ago about thank goodness that everything played out the way it is. Do you remember when Russell Westbrook completely gagged that game against the Minnesota Timberwolves by himself in the last 6 seconds of the game? He did it by himself on both ends of the floor. And we were so mad in that moment because we wanted Minnesota losses, because we want to clinch a playoffs. Thank you, Russ. Thank you, Russ, because we ended up with the Rockets. We ended up with the Rockets as an opponent. Fantastic.
Yep.
And I know it sounds like a shot at the Rockets. It's just time and space.
Yeah.
They're just too young. They're not ready.
Yeah. The Westbrook experience is fascinating. I'm looking here.
Oh, my God.
Down one, 23 seconds to go in regulation. Corner three, Russell got it.
Boom.
And
he made an incredible defensive play that essentially iced the game, and he got James Harden to drop the ball out of bounds, and they won the basketball game. And I've never walked away. I'm like, wow, they won the game. And that guy did almost everything he could to lose it and win it.
Tie game, regulation. Russ has it with 3, with 2, jumps up and just throws it off of James Harden's hip.
Huck it.
Let's go to overtime.
Turnover. Oh, yeah. No shot. No shot.
He's fascinating.
He is unbelievable. I can't wait to watch him last night and throw food at the TV. Jay is in Oakland. Hi, Jay. Thank you for calling.
Man, I'm laughing at y'all with the Russell experience, man.
It is,
man. You hit the three, and they loving you, Russ. And then you drive to the hole, and they don't make the left. And they like, oh. So it's crazy. But anyway, I'm all about my dubs. First of all, just a couple of things. I know Houston didn't go in thinking, okay, y'all held Steph to 3 points. So y'all pumping on y'all chest that y'all about to do that again. First of all, I don't think you hope you didn't think that didn't happen. And then lastly, my point is, I've never met Steph before in my life. I feel you know, once his career is over, you know, we've watched so many of him do those things. Sometimes we get immune to him. We expect him to do it. But similar probably to how people who are in Chicago and they watch Jordan all those years and we watch Steph night in and night out, and he do these, and we just are immune to it sometimes, but it's so amazing. It's definitely going, when it's time for him to hang it up, going to miss it. But this is the last thing. Again, I've never met Steph before. I'm sure you all may have, and he seems to be a genuine guy. I don't know why Houston doesn't just ask him for a hug. The way they holding him, ask him for a hug. If you want a hug, I'm sure he's a good guy. He'll give you a hug.
I'm all telling you.
All this grabbing y'all doing, this is bananas.
It's crazy, Jay. Jay,
yeah,
thank
Jay.
You. Thank
no
you for
consent.
The call.
I mean, I don't think that he has consented
not
to the treatment
know
that
of.
He's getting, yeah.
Not that we know of. I don't know. I don't even know what to think about the officiating last night. Like, it didn't stand out. I didn't think the Warriors got a bad whistle. I thought it was fine. You know, everybody's always going to be mad in a playoff game. I'm old enough to know that. I've watched enough playoff basketball that all sides are mad all the time. So it's not even about the traditional basketball stuff with Steph. It's always the off ball. It's the off ball. And I honestly think there's not that much of a conversation about it, because for the most of us, when we watch a basketball game, our eyes aren't there. You don't stare at Steph the whole time unless the ball goes to him. If you just watch what happens when he doesn't have the ball, it'll blow you away. I don't know how he doesn't swing around and punch somebody. I would be so frustrated by the time I got to where I was trying to go. It's literally like walking in quicksand. He's got to work through so many arms, legs, shoves, grabs, pulls, pushes.
Oh, yeah.
It's absolute insanity. But, you know, that's another credit to him. And I'd love to see that get called a little bit more. But I also say that as a Warrior fan and know that the game would probably just grind to a complete halt if they started calling everything that was happening off ball.
Yeah, both sides, of course. But he does get held and clutched and grabbed a lot more, and it's because of the way he plays, which is constant motion. No other superstar in the league plays the way he does, and the Warriors play a style that most other teams don't, which is ball movement and player movement. And so Steph is constantly on the move, and as a result, when you want to try to guard him, you're going to have to do some sort of clutching and grabbing, because if you're guarding Steph and he's going from one side of the court to the other, there's going to be at least two screens that are set on you, either at the point of his first cut or along the way. So the only way for you to really keep up is to try to make it tough on him and limit his movement. I did think that the whistle was mostly fair in both directions, but there were only 33 fouls called. And as we mentioned last week, 38 is the league average, and so
yeah.
I think the game was officiated more the way Houston would want, and they still lost. Yeah, because Houston's going to be more physical, so if you get a game with 45 fouls, I think that Jimmy and Steph are going to be to the free throw line more, and that definitely favors the Warriors.
You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco, and Odyssey Sports Station, always live on the free Odyssey app, and now coming to you live from the Laughing Monk Studios.
Today's podcast is sponsored by Midi Health. At any given time, 61% of adult women say they want to lose weight. But for many, that's easier said than done. If you've had trouble losing weight, don't lose hope. Midi Health uses a deep understanding of women's hormones and a combination of weight loss medications to create a customized plan for each user. Midi Health can help you achieve more effective and sustainable weight loss by addressing hormone imbalances. Midi can also prescribe proven weight loss medications that help you experience reduced appetite and increased feelings of fullness. When paired with hormone optimization, you're not just managing your weight, you're also supporting your body's natural processes, which means you can overcome those weight loss plateaus that in the past have been so difficult to move beyond. So if you're ready to combine the power of hormones with the power of weight loss medications, visit joinmidi.com today. Discover how this innovative approach can lead you to lasting success. That's joinmidi.com.
Esa-Pekka Salonen's final concerts as music director of the San Francisco Symphony bring legendary artists and epic music to Davies Symphony Hall, culminating in Mahler's electrifying Second Symphony. Tickets at sfsymphony.org.
If you love your customers, you have to try RingCentral. No matter the size of your business, every call, every text, every meeting, every customer conversation matters. With RingCentral, you get a reliable business phone, a modern contact center, and built-in AI across every conversation, so you can focus on the moments that matter. See for yourself at ringcentral.com.
RingCentral, intelligent communications you can trust.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Do you know what went down at the Viper Room the night River Phoenix died? Are you aware of how Steve McQueen escaped death at the hands of the Manson family? But what about the real-life brutal murder that inspired David Lynch's Twin Peaks? These stories and more are told in the Hollywoodland podcast, where true crime and Tinseltown collide. Follow and listen to Hollywoodland wherever you get your podcasts.